All right. It is good to be back with you, and I'll. One of the neat things about general counsel, I haven't been to the general counsel of this Christian Missionary Alliance for 4 years, so it's good to be back with that larger church family, and it's just a time where mostly pastors, but other representatives from all the churches across the United States come together, and we take care of some business, but it's a time of inspiration and where the preachers get preached to a little bit. And Francis Chan spoke to us, and got to meet Johnny Erickson Tada, and it was just a very special time. And Matthew and I were also at our hotel rooms on the same floor as the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, John Stumbo, and so we got to have breakfast with him each morning, which was a real treat. And so I'll have to tell you more about that another time, but. But today, you see, the title is "What the Normal Church." Okay, question: what is normal? Right? Christian author Patsy Claremont says, "Honey, normal is only a setting on your dryer." Okay, but really, what is normal? We all have a tendency to consider what we're used to as normal, even when it might be really weird. Since we're in church, let me use a churchy example. What's normal for a pastor to wear on Sundays? You're used to seeing me in a suit and tie, so you probably think that's normal, unless you think I'm abnormal, which, hey, you wouldn't be the first. But people from different kinds of churches will have a very different idea of the normal pastoral attire. Now, for some people, that's the norm, right? A lot of churches across our land, that's what the pastor wears on Sunday morning. For others, that might be more the norm, a little more of the casual look. Which one is truly normal? Or some of you might think that this is normal for the preacher. I mean, remember that movie? Do you have the audio?
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Yes, if you haven't, not familiar with that movie, never mind. But how a pastor dresses is not an issue of grave concern this morning. But just to lead to the bigger question, when it comes to God's people and the church and what God intends and what churches do and what they're like and so forth, here's the big question. What does God think is normal for the church? Is it possible that what you and I have come to expect as normal for a church is really not what God would say is normal for what he designed the church to be? Is it possible that he would look at our church and say, that's not normal? I want you to look to the person right next to you and say, I'm not sure you're normal. Okay? Yeah, I thought. Okay, enough of that. You're having way too much fun with that. But you know, I was taking a gamble with that. I know. But let's be humble enough to admit that for each of us, we typically define normal as simply what we're used to. But here's what happens with the church too often, I think. People sometimes don't expect God to do anything. And because God moves in response to faith, well, if he doesn't see faith, then he doesn't move. And when God doesn't move, well, we think that's normal. So we don't expect God to do anything, and he doesn't. And so round and round this cycle we go. And so the church becomes devoid of power, and we come to think that's normal, when what the Bible depicts as normal is something else. People who've been raised in dysfunctional homes, right? Sadly, there are many in our world who think it's normal for physical abuse to occur in the home. And they think drug abuse is normal. That constant conflict and turmoil is inevitable. That's normal. That's what they're used to, so that's normal for them. And what needs to happen for people who've been raised in those dysfunctional systems is they need to step back from that system and look outside of it, see what normal should be and could be, and move in that direction, right? And it's the same with the church. If what we've come to think of normal isn't, then how do we get to what God thinks is normal? Then we need to step back and lift our eyes above what is and look to look at what God's word says is normal and move in that direction, right? So that's what we want to do today. So from the text today, what do we see about God's definition of the normal church? And in your outline in the bulletin there, first of all, we see a normal church is one where each individual is honored and valued in the gifts that they bring. Each individual is honored and valued. This is one of those overarching values that just fills these chapters in 1 Corinthians that we've been looking at, but especially look at what verse 27 says. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You know, for those of us who are familiar with this stuff, we should never get so used to this that we lose a sense of awe in the fact that we, together, are the body of Christ. We are the church. We, the church, are the visible representation of Christ on this earth. The church is how God works in the world today. We should never lose a sense of awe about that fact. Now, if that message to all of us collectively isn't amazing enough, this says to us as individuals, each one of you is a part of it. What an honor, folks. You are part of something that is hugely important to our world and to God's plans in it. You aren't just a consumer of what the church has to offer, at least I hope not. You are the church. You have something important to offer each other and the world. And so we see the normal church is one where each individual is honored and valued because they're part of the body of Christ. Is our church normal in that sense? Do we deem some important and some not important? Do you see people that way? Does everybody feel honored and valued? I hope so. Let me remind you of this. Again, you are the church. And so if the church isn't friendly, well, are you friendly? If you don't feel honored and valued, well, do you honor and value everyone else? You see, this is something that we can really fall into in the church, you know, demanding grace from the church, but not giving grace to the church. Demanding that others in the church make us feel honored and valued, but not honoring and valuing others in the church ourselves. Wanting people to know our name, but not taking the time to know other people's names. Wanting the church to meet our needs, but forgetting that everyone in the church has needs, and some of those needs of others are going to be met by you, through you. You are the church. And so if we're going to become a normal church where each individual is honored and valued, then each of us needs to honor and value each other. To focus not on being honored and valued, but on giving that honor and value. To be contagious about it so that others will catch that gracious, loving spirit and spread it around. And when that happens, the world takes notice and says, whatever they have, I want to be a part of that. That is normal for the church as God sees it. And may that be normal here. A second thing we see about what normal means from God's vantage point is it means God's supernatural power is seen. You know, when we discuss spiritual gifts, sometimes it's dealt with only in terms of, you know, oh, you're good with kids, then you should work in children's ministry, or oh, you're good with numbers, you should work with the finances, or oh, you can fix stuff, you know, you should be a trustee, or oh, you've got a big mouth, you should be a preacher, you know. And yeah, you know, a lot of that can be valid in the discussion of the gifts, but if it ends there, if that's as far as we go with it, then we've really missed what the Holy Spirit wants to give the church. Let's look at the list quickly given here in verse 28. It says, in the church, God's appointed apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, gifts of administration, speaking in different kinds of tongues. This is not a list of natural abilities used in a merely human organization. These are supernatural things that God does through people. Again, just to briefly touch on these, you know, apostles simply means sent ones. sent ones. That's what it means. And there were the 12 that Jesus chose. But that term is used not only of them, but of others in the New Testament and throughout church history. And it's used in a sense almost like what missionaries do today. They are sent ones, the ones we have sent, our missionaries, to bring the gospel where it hasn't been and to bring good news to a distant place. So God has given apostles, prophets, those who speak for God, you know, not just foretelling the future, but speaking whatever God has to say right now. And many of you have said to me how God's spoken to you through a message here or there, or how, wow, you know, that was just for me. And that's prophetic at work. And it tells me the Holy Spirit is working today through that gift, and how every once in a while there are sometimes the even more obviously supernatural things that are spoken. Some word of encouragement or exhortation that only God could know. Teachers, that's self-explanatory for the most part, those gifted to teach the truths of the faith. Workers of miracles and those with gifts of healing. Yeah, it's pretty hard to not see the supernatural there. Now, I know some of you, your minds might be going right away to all the weird stuff that's out there, right? In the name of miracles in the church. And I don't blame you, because I know there's a lot of weird stuff out there, and I've seen it. I know a pastor in a previous town where I worked. He was on the call at the hospital one week, and there was a death. A man had a heart attack and died, and this pastor was called in to speak to the wife that was there in shock and in grief, and he comes into the room. The body was there, and the wife was there weeping, and this pastor, who's all about miracles, told me what he did in that situation. He said, I went up to the body, and I grabbed him by the collar, and I commanded him to rise from the dead, but he wouldn't listen to me, so hey, it wasn't my fault. I said, dude, that is so messed up. So, yes, I acknowledge there are lots of stories of great weirdness in regard to the supernatural and miracles, but does that mean that there is nothing real and legitimate or true in regard to the miraculous among God's people? No. Folks, let's not fall into the trap of denying what is real because of things that are phony and a little weird. You know, there's this warning in the Old Testament about not giving God unauthorized offerings, right? God gave very specific instructions about offerings and burnt offerings and how it was supposed to be given and who was supposed to do what and all of that. And there was this time when Aaron's sons offered unauthorized offerings. They didn't go according to what God said. And King James Version calls it strange fire. They offered strange fire on the altar. And those young men, Aaron's sons, were struck dead for it. A.W. Tozer said this. He spoke of those in the church who, because they're afraid of strange fire, prefer no fire at all. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, for fear of a gift or the supernatural being faked or manufactured, it leads some people in reaction to that to say, you know what, if we just don't have anything supernatural happen here, nothing we can't control, then problem solved, right? I understand that, but it creates another problem. It creates a problem where there's no room for the Holy Spirit to do anything, even the real things that he wants to do. The things that the Bible says are normal for the church. There's a strain of teaching called cessationism, that after the New Testament was written, that all the supernatural stuff stopped. God stopped speaking, healing, and all of that. The Scofield Bible popularized that idea. Scofield Bible, the notes that were written by a guy named Scofield and to interpret the Bible in a certain way. And interestingly enough, if you look into this, Scofield was influenced by a young woman who had a vision, okay, supernatural vision about end times things that he put in his notes to interpret Scripture. So, a guy who says God stopped doing all the miraculous things was influenced by a vision. You find that interesting? Listen, I don't want to forget the rest of the gifts mentioned here: helps and administration and tongues. And that last one, we'll talk more about that in a future message in English, don't worry. But listen, I know this can be controversial, and there are many pitfalls can be fallen into when it comes to all this. But here's a question I want us all to ask God. I think this is an important question. God, what is your normal for the church today? To me, it looks pretty clear that God intended the church to be a place where supernatural power is seen. Where, first of all, the greatest miracle that ever happens often, where people are transformed from the inside out by coming to faith in Jesus Christ. All right, that's the first miracle I want us to seek God for. But also where people expect God to work and to pray in faith, and God does work. And the church to be a place where there are things that happen that only God could do, where people are healed and set free and made new, delivered from addictions and all of it. That's what God says is a normal church. Let me tell you about some regular kids I heard about not long ago. They were brothers, age 10 and 14, and their dad's an evangelist, and they were out one day in public, and they decided, you know what, we want to believe God for the power to pray for the sick and to see healing. And so they saw this kid in a wheelchair, again, out in public, and total stranger, and they asked the child's mother if they could pray for this one in the wheelchair. And the mother said, well, she was skeptical, but she said, okay. And they prayed, and nothing happened at first. So they prayed again, and again, they didn't give up. And that day, that child got out of that wheelchair. There was something miraculous happened there, because these kids didn't know any better than to ask God for something miraculous. And I know there's 100 well, what if questions that we can ask. And again, in council, I met Johnny Erickson Tata, who's been a quadriplegic for 48 years. And she asked for a miracle to be healed and never got that. But she can testify to a lot of other miracles that God has done for her. But the bottom line is this: do we believe in a God of power or not? You know? Do we believe in this God of the New Testament or not? The truly normal church, from God's vantage point, believes in his power. And that leads us to point number 3 here. A normal church is a church where people continually seek God for more. One thing that's safe to say, that's clear in Scripture, is that God wants us to seek him, to first seek him for who he is, not his gifts, but him as our God, as our Lord, as our Savior, to love him above all else. But Scripture teaches us also to seek God for what he wants to give. Matthew chapter 7 says this: ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, with that in mind, look at verse 31 of the text in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, to be fair, some of your Bibles, you have a little footnote there that there's an alternate way of translating the wording in that verse where it says, but you are eagerly desiring the greater gifts, and seeing that almost as a rebuke that some are seeking the more flashier and more obviously supernatural gifts. And it's like, well, which is it? Those seem kind of two opposite ways of interpreting that verse. But listen, with everything else that's said about the gifts in other scriptures, this is clear. That no, we should not be desiring gifts to be showy, to boast, to be better than somebody else. That's obviously wrong. That's not God's intention for the gifts. But we should desire that what God says he gives to the church, it's good to seek for those things to be normal in our midst. Jump over a chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. You know, Mark chapter 6, Jesus is speaking in a synagogue in his hometown, and he gets criticized by the people that know his family, and they're saying, hey, we know this guy. Who does he think he is? He's nothing special, and all of that. But in that passage, we find this very, very interesting verse. It says he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. I find this so tragic and yet so instructive to us. Jesus, the Son of God, he can do anything, right? Yeah. He can raise the dead. But there, he could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Really? That's what it says. It tells me that what we believe matters. What we expect matters. What we ask for from God matters. And you know, it says he was amazed by their lack of faith. If you look through all the New Testament, there's two things that Jesus was amazed by. Okay, the first one was one guy that wasn't even one of the religious ones, and he amazed Jesus by his faith. Jesus said, I'm going to do this, and the guy just took him at his word, and that was that, and that amazed Jesus. And then this amazed Jesus, a terrible lack of faith. I want to be a church that amazes Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to amaze Jesus because of what we will trust him for. But a church that he finds amazing because of a lack of faith, so much so that he can't do any miracles here. I don't want to be that kind of church. Let's be a church that continually seeks God for more. So you've never seen a miracle? Well, when was the last time you prayed for one? So you don't know of any of these supernatural gifts in our church? Well, you know what? We could ask and seek and knock and say, Lord, reveal these gifts in your church. You don't have to give it necessarily to me, but give it to somebody in the church. Give that gift to somebody. Again, we can ask and seek and knock and keep asking and keep seeking, keep knocking, wanting God to fill his church with his presence and power so that he's glorified in his church. That the supernatural becomes natural here. You know, again, I don't want to be a weird church. I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to go off the deep, but I want us to be what God says is normal. Let me tell you about a lady named Effie. Effie was a member of a previous church where I served, and I think she turned 80 sometime in the years that we were there. And she would say that, you know, she wasn't a teacher. She didn't feel like she had anything to offer the church. She didn't feel like she had any spiritual gifts, or so she didn't know what they were. But Effie loved the church. And she prayed. The church, when I came to it, was tiny. I mean, I would say the church had 1 foot in the grave. 30 people on a Sunday morning was a good Sunday. And Effie said, you know what? I'm going to start praying that we hit 50. And we started to grow. And one Sunday morning, Effie was looking around, and she was counting heads, you know, and she raised her hand, and she announced that we had 50 people in church on that Sunday. And she said, you know what? And I'm going to start praying for 100. And so, sure enough, in due time, we reached 100. And I said, keep praying, Effie. Keep praying. And you know, so this little old lady who didn't feel like she had any gifts really had the gift of faith. And I would say it really was nothing short of miraculous that that tiny dying church grew and was blessed. And so my question for all of us today is this. What do we believe that God can do? What do we believe he wants to do here with you, through you, in our midst? What will we ask him to do? What will we understand as normal for a church that bears the name of Jesus Christ? Folks, the world needs to see that we have a strong God. A God of power, a God who is still alive. And the world needs to see that in your life and in our church. And so I ask you to just join me in seeking God, asking God to make us normal by his definition. That might mean some things that might seem kind of strange to the world, might seem strange to us, but that's okay, isn't it? If it's normal to God, right? We worship Jesus, one who willingly went to the cross, who laid down his life, who took our sin on himself. He was innocent, but he died on behalf of the guilty. And not just to take us to heaven, but also the scripture says, it is by his wounds we are healed. And this is the Jesus that rose from the dead. None of that stuff is normal by the world standards. But it's perfectly normal for the God that we worship. And so, let's go to that God now and bow our heads together, shall we? God, I thank you that you're not normal by the world's definition, that you are greater, that you are something way beyond what most people understand or experience. And I thank you for that. But God, we want to be, if we're going to be the body of Christ, if we're going to be the visible representation of God on the earth, then we need to be more like you. And so God, we want what you call normal to happen here and to be seen here. And so Lord, make us that. When it comes to the gifts and the love and the respect and the joy and the and Lord, the peace, even in the face of suffering, all these things that just aren't normal to the world, Lord, make them normal here. And I pray that, Lord, as Scripture says, your Holy Spirit sovereignly does these things. Do this in our midst, oh God, and bring glory to yourself. And make us a place where people say, wow, that has to be God there. And I thank you. I thank you for Christ who came and did a whole bunch of things that really weren't normal. And I thank you that he died and rose again for us. And we pray it in his name. Amen.